Good day, and welcome to the Bharat Trading Update Analyst and Investor Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to David Thomas, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today, we've issued our trading update for the year ending 30th of June 2017. Firstly, I'm delighted to have Jessica with me for her first trading update as CFO since her appointment on the 22nd of June. Just starting in terms of the overview, it's been a very strong year of operational and financial performance for the group. We've driven a slight completion volume increase, significant profit improvements, and all of this with an ongoing focus in terms of the quality and service that the business is providing. Our sites were awarded 74 NHBC Pride in the Job awards, more than any other house builder for the 13th year in a row. We achieved our five-star HBF customer recommend rating for the eighth year in a row. Looking back at the year as a whole, our profit before tax is at record levels at around 765 million. Our net cash position at the 30th of June has increased to around 720 million. We expect to deliver on our 20% gross margin target for FY 2017 that we originally set in September 2014. Our return on capital employed is up from 27% to around 29%. To provide a little more color on the numbers, the mortgage market has remained very positive, and consumer demand has remained strong throughout the financial year. This has resulted in us seeing an increase in completions to nearly 17,400. As I flagged in 2016, our joint venture completions reduced by nearly 700, but our wholly owned completions showed good growth. Our private sales rate per outlet for the year increased by over 4% to 0.72. Our private ASP was up 8% to 313,000. This was primarily mix with some house price inflation. We have a very strong forward order book, with forward sales at 2.14 billion. Our wholly owned forward sales stand at 1.9 billion, 19% higher than the same time last year. Land market conditions in the year remain attractive, and we've identified excellent opportunities, all of which meet or exceed our hurdle rates. Despite our brief pause in the land market after the EU referendum, we've still approved for purchase 18,500 plots during the year. In terms of the balance sheet at the 30th of June, as I said, we have net cash of around 720 million. This is ahead of our guidance, reflecting strong trading, the timing of certain land and working capital payments. We continue to focus on improving our operating margin going forward, and the introduction of our new house type ranges and other margin initiatives will begin to positively impact margin in this new financial year. We will be reporting again in September, where we will update on current trading and more guidance for FY 2018. Thank you, and we will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Aynsley Lammin of Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just two questions, please. First of all, just wondered if you could give a bit more kind of color really on recent trading post the election. Have you seen any kind of slowing off? Was it been holding up quite good? And if you could just maybe bit comment in that context around recent trading in London as well. And then secondly, obviously you talked about the kind of net margin, the gross margin targets and ROCE being met in the FY17. Should we expect a kind of resetting of those margin targets formally when you report in September? Will you give more guidance as to where you think margins could get to over the medium term? Thanks.
Okay, Ainsley, hi, good morning. So I think in terms of trading, I mean, just a couple of points. I mean, first of all, when you look at our numbers, first half, second half, or you look at the numbers since May, I think you can see that there is a strengthening of the year-on-year trading. And that ultimately reflects itself in terms of us delivering slightly higher completions and a forward order book that's up by 19%. When you look at the specifics in terms of pre- and post-election, we've looked at that always up, London, regional, at different price points. Every way we cut it, year on year, the trading is better post the election. So we've not seen any negatives in terms of trading post the election. In terms of the gross margin, return on capital employed, I mean, we're going to stick with our position, which is that we buy land on a minimum gross margin of 20% and a minimum return on capital of 25%. We clearly always seek to exceed those when we buy land. We recognise that there is work for us to do in improving our gross and our operating margin, and we are very focused on doing that. But we have no plans to set short-term targets. I mean, we report to the market six times a year, and we will continue to provide guidance in terms of margin evolution as we report to the market.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mark Howson from HSBC, please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a quick one. Can you give us a figure for land creditors? We've got a figure for that. That's the first question. Second question, if I may, can you give us a view for your view on like-for-like cost inflation for this year and next, and also your view on house price inflation? Those are the first two questions.
Okay, fine. Well, morning, Mark. If I cover cost inflation and house price inflation, and then Jessica will pick up in terms of the land creditor position. So if we take on cost inflation, I mean, Stephen will outline this in a little more detail in September, but in essence, we've seen cost inflation for the year to June 17 running at around 3%. So when we look at the combination of labour and materials, as always, as we've seen over the last few years, more pressure on labour and less pressure on materials. We'll update in terms of guidance for the year to June 18 in September, and Stephen will outline that further. In terms of house price inflation, it's quite difficult for us to measure house price inflation, so we have to look at same house types on the same sites to cut our internal HPI measure. And we guesstimate HPI in the year to June 17 at about 3%. I think that's a figure that started higher, and we've seen some tempering of house price inflation during the course of the year. So if I pass over to Jessica in terms of land creditors.
Good morning, Mark. Land creditors at the 30th of June were around £1 billion, so consistent year on year.
Okay, and just finally from me, has there been any notable change in the percentage of your completions in private from Help to Buy, and we've got a figure for what roughly that percentage is?
No notable change in overall terms. I mean, the only thing to highlight is that the Help to Buy percentage in London moved from a maximum of 20% to a maximum of 40%. Back in February, March 16. So therefore, when you look at the year-on-year comparatives, we're clearly seeing more Help to Buy participation in London because we've had it all the way through this year rather than simply for 4 months last year. In terms of as a percentage of private completions, then running at around 40% of private completions.
Yeah. Just finally, if I may squeeze one last one in, just in central London, can you give us a feeling for the timing of sites for the JV and non-JV sites there? I think some of the impact, though, you're down 700 and you've just gone. Some of that, of course, you had a bit of a gap in sites, some of the sites being pushed into the June 18 year. Can you give us a feel for the sort of year-on-year site movements that are going to be going on?
Well, in terms of JV numbers, you know, we've seen JVs drop in the year 17 from around 16 sites down to around 12 sites. When we look at delivery for joint ventures for the year to June 18, I think we'd expect something similar, so somewhere around 700, 750 completions in the year to June 18.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Gregor Kuglitsch of UBS, please go ahead.
Had a couple of questions as well. Can you just maybe elaborate a little bit on the social element? It was obviously up very strongly, 24%, I believe, in terms of volumes. Works out around 20%. It's a bit higher in history. I just want to understand if that's more timing or whether it's some kind of shift there. The second question is on private ASPs. If I work out the ASP in the order book, I appreciate there's obviously always a London mix and so on in there, but nevertheless it went from 320k this year, last year, to around 354k, so it's obviously a pretty big jump. I want to understand if there's anything special going on in there. And then finally, if you could elaborate a little bit on your volume guidance, so we can see your volumes in the order book are up quite nicely. I'm not sure whether you're actually given a guidance on overall sites, but obviously trading is strong. So I want to understand why you're holding back on volume guidance for 2018, please. Thank you.
Okay, Gregor, hi, good morning. Okay, if I just run through those, I mean, first of all, in terms of the affordable percentage, I mean, I don't think it's precise, but I think as an indication we've said historically that we think that the sort of blended affordable percentage for the group, if we're delivering completely uniformly, is around 17 or 18%. And if you look at affordable delivery, if you go back over the last few years, we have seen affordable delivery vary around that. We've seen it down as low as 16, and we're seeing it up as high as 20. So I don't think there's anything, there's no policy changes that are driving us to 20. It's very much more about getting onto larger sites, being able to deliver more of the affordable content early, and we would still guide to a long-term position at around 18 rather than 20. In terms of the ASP in the order book, I mean, I think to some extent you really covered it, because the reality is that the ASP in the order book will always be influenced disproportionately by London. Typically in the regional business, we're not taking forward orders more than 6 months forward, because that's not the way the market operates. Whereas in London, we are taking forward orders more than 6 months forward. When you look at the wholly owned forward order book, we have got a significant number of reservations for Landmark Place, our development on the north bank of the Thames, next to the Tower of London. And average selling prices there will be high. So average selling prices probably around 1.4, 1.5 million. So that will be skewing the forward order book, given the number of reservations that are in there. That is partly for delivery in the year to June 18 and partly for delivery in the year to June 19. In terms of the volume guidance, I mean, I think the reality is that we're sort of what we think is you know, reasonable delivery targets. We think that, you know, modest delivery completion increases somewhere in the order of 1 to 3%. If you look at our wholly owned business this year, we delivered volume increases of a shade under 5%. When you look at the combination of private and affordable, the reality, Gregor, is that whether it's private or affordable, we've still got to build it and we've still got to secure the skills to do so. So we've grown the business in the last 6 years by around 55%. We're the largest house builder by some distance. And I think what we've got to do is to keep focused on the quality and the service that we're providing in terms of the houses that we're building and just keep our growth ambitions reasonably tempered. So that's really the backdrop.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thanks, Gregor.
John Bell from Barclays, please go ahead.
Yeah, morning. Couple from me, actually. Firstly, I wonder whether you could comment on market conditions in London and whether there's been any change in the last couple of months. And then secondly, just on the land market, whether there's been any change in your ability to get deferred terms on land purchases. Thank you.
Okay, John, hi, good morning, thank you. So if I cover those two, I mean, first of all, in terms of market conditions in London, the short answer is, as we said in May, we've not seen any change in conditions to those that we outlined in January. And I think you can see in terms of our delivery to June that we have delivered well in terms of London. We're very pleased with both the sales and the build for London. And when we outline or go into more detail in the numbers in September, as we said back in January, we were going to have a very strong completion delivery in London, and we've definitely delivered on that. In terms of deferred terms, I mean, something that we look at very closely, not just our deferred terms, but also the deferred terms for our peers. And this is something that has changed dramatically if you look over the last 4 or 5 years, is that, you know, we were an outlier 4 or 5 years ago in saying, look, we believe you can get good deferred terms in the market, and we don't see that there is a purpose in paying for the land up front where the cost of deferral is relatively low. What we've seen now is an increasing use of deferred terms amongst our peers, and we continue to see the ability to defer terms in the market as being very attractive, and hence why we're running, Jessica outlined the figure, and that probably represents 36-37% of the land bank on deferred terms.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of from the line of Christopher Fremantle of MSSB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. It's Chris Fremantle from Morgan Stanley. I just want to ask you a little bit more on land pricing and whether you are seeing any more competition there, any more pressure on land prices. I notice if you look at some of the indices, they don't appear, at least, to be following the house price growth that you have seen over recent years. Is there any movement there? And if you're not really seeing that pressure, why aren't you seeing it in your view?
Okay. Good morning, Chris. I mean, I think just in terms of splitting the market, you know, we've said historically that land prices in London, Zone 1, edge of Zone 2, were running ahead of what you would expect in terms of house prices. And I think ourselves and probably some of the other house builders have not been able to close deals in London because it's been very difficult to achieve the hurdle rates. What you've seen happen in Zone 1 and Zone 2 over the last 12 months or so is that land prices have backed off substantially. I mean, whilst it's not a precise ratio, if you see a reduction in house prices, then that could be amplified maybe three times. So a 3% reduction in house prices could see a 10% reduction in land prices. And it's reductions in that sort of order that Savills and Knight Frank have reported. In terms of the regional market, I think the reverse position has been true. And as you indicate, you know, that land prices have not moved in line with house prices in a positive way. I think the reality is that the large builders, if you just look at the three largest builders, ourselves, Persimmon and Till Wimpey, We are drawing large amounts of land from strategic land banks in terms of off-market deals. A lot of people who are trading land moved into the market very aggressively post 2011, 2012, particularly on the back of the planning policy framework. So there is a lot of land available that is coming through the system now with residential consents. And therefore, we are seeing very, very attractive opportunities, and I'm sure our peers are seeing very attractive opportunities to buy land in the operational market. The final thing is when we look at our offers made to offers accepted, our ratios are pretty consistent. So somewhere on for every three or four offers we make, we are successful. I mean, clearly, you've got to monitor that ratio closely because you don't want to be successful on every offer you make. But on the other hand, you don't want to be making 10 offers with no success. So we do monitor that very closely on a national basis, and it's remained pretty consistent over the last couple of years.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Kevin Conmack of Cenkos, please go ahead.
Morning, David, and welcome, Jessica, as well. Just one question, I think it's a question, but I'm looking for confirmation, I think, more than anything, David. If I look back at the last official guidance, it would appear to me, and again, correct me here if I'm wrong, that the volume differential is really marginal, and the main lever that seems to have gone up in the closing quarter looks to be on selling price, which one assumes pretty much, you know, falls down straight into profits. And hence, I mean, obviously you're confirming that you've made a gross of 20, but I'm sort of assuming that you've actually got through that relatively easily. And I don't want to pin you to a number, but, you know, just I want to feel comfortable that you've got through that with a bit to spare. And I want to, again, come back and confirm what you said earlier, that your belief was that your margins can actually still go up in the current year and beyond. And I ask that in a sense because you've had one or two of your peers, literally in the last few weeks, sort of saying that, you know, they're running out of steam in terms of getting their margins any higher. But you appear, to me anyway, to be relatively confident that that's not the case for you. So I don't know whether there are questions there, but just if you can sort of comment on those thoughts as much as anything.
Yeah, no, Kevin, hi, good morning. Look, I can turn that into two questions, Kevin. So I'll give you two answers and we'll just pretend that they fit the questions.
I hope they're both
okay,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of delivery, look, just to give you a little bit of context, when we came to market in May, we pointed towards the upper end of the range, and that's obviously slightly imprecise science, but nonetheless, we felt that we were going to deliver higher at that point in time. But bear in mind, I mean, from our May trading statement, I mean, I would have said roughly, we would have had very few reservations still to make, but definitely some in London. And from the May trading statement to the end of June, we will have delivered circa 3,000 completions. So a huge amount of build completion and house completion activity to take place. And what I think we've been able to do, first of all, is deliver slightly ahead of the volume guidance. And therefore that's a positive in terms of profitability. Secondly, and importantly for profits, we did deliver in terms of London. So we got a lot of both high priced product and below 600,000 product across the line. And thirdly, in terms of, I mean, we have exceeded it, but I mean, and Jessica will outline final numbers in September. But the reality is it will be 20.1 or 20.2. And I've said consistently during the year that is a tough target. I mean, we set that target back in September 14, and we set a 20% gross margin for the year to FY 17, and also a 25% return on capital. Now, clearly, we got there quicker on the return on capital, but we just squeezed over the line. And I think it was made more difficult, to link into the second question, it was made more difficult by London because we have seen some headwinds on margin in London, and we outlined back in January some price reductions that we had made. In terms of margins going forward, I mean, I think I have to, obviously, the usual caveat, all things remaining the same, we absolutely believe that we can improve our margin. I mean, you have the numbers, and you look at the numbers all the time. I mean, our operating margin is significantly behind some of our peers. We recognize that there are structural things that we need, that we're not going to address. So, for example, if a peer has a much longer land bank, they will have holding gains coming through the P&L, and we are not seeking to extend our land bank. We're very committed to our 3.5-year land bank. But more strategic land is something that we've outlined consistently in the last 3 or 4 years. We're now going to be this year at around 25% strategic. We'll have another look at that in September, but clearly we can move strategic further forward. And then the launch of our new house type range, I mean, we believe that we are really still providing a great quality product that the consumer will find very desirable, but we do believe that we can reduce the cost of production and make it more efficient, particularly on the Barratt range, to make it more suited to timber frame or light gauge steel frame production. And then I could go on, but I will just do one final point just to say that, you know, we did make a decision back in 15 that we would stop our 5-year warranty. So our 5-year warranty went in place in 2009. It was a big benefit to us in terms of selling houses back in 2009 and so on. But we took that out in 15, but we don't accrue any benefits for that until November 17, and then we'll start to accrue benefits. So we've got a number of initiatives that are all designed to improve our overall operating margin.
Thank you. That's extremely helpful, David. Thanks.
Not at all. Thanks, Kieran.
The next question comes from Gavin Jago of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, David. Morning, Jessica. Just a couple of easy ones, if I could, please. The first one's on the JV line. I think you're kind of looking at a contribution for FY17 in the mid-20 millions. Just given where the volumes for the JVs you're guiding to for FY18, is there anything else we should be thinking about in terms of the pricing and the contribution, or should we be expecting kind of a similar kind of profit line in the JVs there? And just one on the balance sheet, average debt for the year, can you give us a feel for where that was in FY17 and maybe a little bit of guidance where it may be sitting for the current year as well, please?
Gavin, hi, good morning. Okay, so Jessica will answer both of those.
Hi, good morning, Gavin.
Hi.
If we take the balance sheet points going forward, we'd expect that the balance sheet investment in joint ventures would be broadly similar to last year. And if we're looking forward in terms of profit, as David's already said, we'd expect that joint venture completions would be at a similar level going forward, so therefore we would expect JV profits to be flat year on year.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from Andrew Murphy of Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Morning, David. Morning, Jessica. Just had a couple of quick ones. You talked a little bit about costs earlier on. I think that was all more backward-looking than forward-looking. So can you give us a flavour for what you think inflation in your view is going to be for materials and labour for 2018 and beyond, if you have a view? And secondly, I was just wondering whether you could just give us a flavour for what you're seeing in terms of labour market availability, whether it's okay, whether you're struggling to find people or not. Thank you.
Andy, hi, good morning. I mean, in terms of costs, as you say, the FY17 position at around 3% was backward looking. I think in terms of the labour cost side of the equation, We've probably seen a reasonably consistent position year on year, and I'll come back to labour in terms of the second part of the question. In terms of material costs, we are seeing cost pressures in terms of capacity for certain materials, and therefore people are looking to move prices because of lack of capacity. And we're also seeing a little bit of FX pressures coming into the marketplace. So my sense is that, you know, we guided in the current year at 3 to 4 and we came out at 3. And my sense is we're probably going to be guiding at 3 to 4 for FY18 and coming out closer to 4. But, you know, we'll have another look at that in September at the full year results, but that would be my sense of it. In terms of labour, I mean, if you look at labour in the round, I think the Bank of England construction figures have been round about 5 or 6% labour inflation, cost inflation over the last couple of years. And I think that what that's saying is that the industry, the wider industry, is managing the demand on labour by trying to use alternate methods of production where possible. So while timber frame has been around for a long time and has been used to varying degrees over the last 40 years, the reality is that the industry is using more timber frame now than it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago. We've also, and some of our peers, have been using light gauge steel frame and large format block, and all of that is helping to reduce the demand on certain labour, particularly on bricklayers. So we're doing more in terms of changing construction methods, and we're doing much more in terms of bringing in apprentices, trainees and graduates to complement the workforce. So I think year on year, no great change. This is a big driver as to why we're cautious on volume, as I touched on earlier with Gregor, is that, you know, we're not going to set ourselves up in a position of saying, look, we can deliver 5 to 10% volume growth when we have such a constraint in terms of labour. So we've got to recognise that we've got to build good quality houses, we've got to provide good customer service, and we need to be tempered in terms of our demand. So that's really the kind of backdrop in terms of costs and labour.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a final reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. If there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. And now I would like to turn the call back to David Thomas for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks everyone for the questions, and I'd just like to re-emphasize that we do see that it has been a very strong operational and financial performance, and we are very focused in terms of margin improvements as we move into FY18. Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.